Welcome to the Phi Life Podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me, as always, is Brad Pilon. And we're going to talk about some different stuff today. But before that, what did you have going on this past week?
Look, dude, it's playoffs. NHL hockey playoffs right now. So I've been, watch a couple games. You know, normally I get about the third period in because the games, when you're watching them here in Ontario, they start around 7:30. Which is normally when the kids are going to bed. So, well, most of the guys are watching the first and second periods. I'm watching one of Beauty and the Beast, Mulan, or The Little Mermaid. And then, yeah. But then once that's over, then I do get to watch some hockey. But that's kind of what I've been up to. I'm trying to think if anything else has been overexciting going on. But not much. We're getting some good weather here. So I had the barbecue going for the first time in a while tonight, actually.
Oh yeah, it's key.
Yeah, it was good. Tons of food. A bit more than we'd that old saying, right? Your eyes are always bigger than your stomach. So we have a nice amount of leftover steak and potatoes.
I give it a good try though.
Oh yeah,
the eyes and the stomach thing.
Yeah. Well, I put that up on it's sort of an interesting side story. You know how in East South Vietnam, I'm always talking about it's a combination of fasting, weight training, just responsible eating. Mm. And everybody always jumps all over me because I don't give exact definition of what responsible eating is. Mm. And then I always say it's different from culture to culture, person to person, and then people just say that's a cop-out. So I put up on my blog today the GGWS approach. The GGW... No, sorry.
WWGS.
GS, thank you, Jesus. So the WWGS approach, which is simply what would grandma say, right? And just going by the old wisdom that, you know, your grandparents, or if you're younger, maybe even your great-grandparents, would have told you about eating. And I find it fascinating that a lot of the things that they used to say are actually somewhat still believed today, only now we believe it because of science, right? So, carrots are great for your eyes, right? That was the same before probably we knew what beta-carotene was. Fish is brain food. Before we knew what EPA and DHA were, right? So I find that interesting that a lot of those sort of things tend to pan out. But then I liked one of the ones you had was that your eyes are always bigger than your mouth, your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. Like even on the days you're like, I am so hungry, I am just going to, you know, I'm ordering 3 cheesecakes at the Cheesecake Factory. And you get to the first one and you're like, oh, this is going to be an embarrassing defeat. So.
Yeah, it's weird how we got to the point where it's, there is no like wisdom being handed down anymore as far as food goes. We're just constantly looking for somebody else to tell us what to do.
Oh, well, I mean, wisdom being handed down is your 500 friends' Facebook updates when everybody wants to update you on, you know, their latest discovery on how you should be eating. But that grandparent-style wisdom, right, that this it's 5% science, 95% common sense, that's disappearing, right, because common sense in general –
well, the stuff that just works.
Exactly.
And that's what I don't understand. Like people seem to read a lot about it and get worked up or worried about, you know, whether or not a particular way of eating or a particular thing you can eat will adversely affect your cholesterol or whatever. And then my first question is like, oh, well, have you had your blood tested? Do you know if it's affecting you that way? I mean, without testing it, why would you take any action if you have no idea of where you currently are?
Yep, totally. Yeah. So now, my favorite is, could you imagine if like your grandmother is like, she tells you, you know, eat your vegetables, they're good for you. And you were like, well, show me your references for that. She would hit you with a soup spoon so fast, right?
No, like, yeah, totally.
But that's kind of the, you know, the show me the science back and forth arguments going on online right now. And none of it's ever, you know, stop and think about, is there common sense to what you're saying? The one I like is just kind of pointing out that in any given style of eating, vegetarian, I'm sure there are vegetarians who are way leaner than I am, vegetarians that are way more obese than I am. I'm sure there are paleo people who are way leaner than I am, paleo people that are not nearly as lean as I am. And then in terms of like how much you know about nutrition, there are people who know, you know, could barely spell the word nutrition, who are exceptionally lean. And then you and I both know people who are PhDs who teach have been teaching for 20 years and are tenured professors who are obese or at least pretty darn close.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So it's all these things that people are take as absolutes. But you're like, no, they're not absolutes, right? Like you just there's part of them are rooted in a common sense approach, and then we've tried to science them into being black or white, and it's funny. So I like the what would grandma say approach to responsible eating, right? Just kind of like, you know, throw some common sense in there, and obviously it's meant to be funny because grandma says some funny things, but in general, it's not a bad rule to go by.
Yeah, because I mean, we can get way too caught up trying to read about it and postulate what's the best idea. It's actually significantly simpler, especially when what you just said about you can be a vegetarian, a non-vegetarian. I don't even know what you call the other. An omnivore, I guess. You can, and anything in between. And you can be unhealthy in all of those ways, and you can be at a body weight you like at all those different eating styles, and you can be at a body weight you don't like at all those different eating styles. So that's kind of proof that it's not the eating style, it's something else. And like you said, it's also knowledge doesn't have anything to do with it. There's people who are spend their whole life studying this stuff, but they don't apply it. So it's kind of leads you to believe that it's something that's more of an integrated lifestyle thing that's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I like the fact that some of the comments on my blog on that specific post were they're typically talking about, their grandparents who lived to 91 or 94. And, you know, this one didn't have a lot of money, so she lived off of lard sandwiches. This guy ate McDonald's for the last 20 years of his life. Like, you know, all these exceptions to the rule pop up, right? So when you're asking a question like this, people like to throw in the exceptions to the rule because it's sort of fun and a cool story. But then when you ask them how to eat, they admit those stories. And, you know, we typically go right back to the hard, fast rules, right? So, yeah, it's just, here. Large sandwiches, lived to 94. Doctor said she had the heart of someone 30 years younger. I mean, like, so, you know, obvious that everything isn't as black and white as we'd like to believe.
Sure. It's like, so, like that probably has something to do with genetics as well as, how much? Like, how much was she actually eating? And what was her lifestyle actually like?
And I mean, in terms of large sandwiches, did she always eat them? Like, for 94 years straight? Or just, is that one thing you remembered?
Yeah, exactly. That was the one odd thing you remembered. So it's, and that's the one, I bet you, that's the one thing, I know we've said it before, but I don't think anybody actually can ever know what anybody else actually eats.
Well, I've used the example of when I was in China. I think I've done this on this call before, so I won't go into too much detail. But, you know, like, you only know what to eat because you've heard them say it or you've seen them do it once or twice. But
I remember your story. But I mean, even like your wife.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, there's, you know, probably 90% of what she eats, but I'm sure there's something she eats that she hides from you.
Oh, 90%. I know 40%.
Okay, well, you know what I'm trying to say.
She had a stomach ache tonight, and we asked her what she ate today, and it was this big long pause, and she's like, I have no idea. So she doesn't even, you know, unless you're purposely trying to keep a journal and recall. I mean, I can recall what we had for dinner, and the Dairy Milk bar I bought when I had to go get propane for the gas tank. Other than that, I have no clue what I ate.
Right, and that's isn't that weird? Like,
I know.
I don't know if we're like, I don't know, programmed to not remember things like that, or maybe our memory's just that bad in general. That's more what I think. But like, you can think of all the kind of weird facts and stats you can remember, but you can't really remember what you ate 3 days ago. Like, I bet you it would be almost impossible for you to remember what you ate like 5 days ago. Everything that you consumed.
Yeah. No way. My favorite thing now is, okay, I just had. Well, what time is it? It's 10:20 where I am. Probably had dinner around 6. And so I know what I had. But if you ask me, okay, can you guesstimate the weight of the steak, the sweet potatoes, or the corn? I no clue. Like, I have no clue how many ounces of any of that or grams there was.
Oh, yeah.
It was about a plateful of one of my plates, which may be different to one of your plates. But But no clue. I just actually remembered I had a Häagen-Dazs bar too. So, yeah, it was good eating. But I forgot that when I first told you what I ate, right? Like, it's
–
so, yeah, it's
It's so easy for calories to go missing. And this is part of why diet – for anyone listening, it's part of why diet records and research are kind of very difficult, if not completely useless, to interpret or use, because no matter how meticulous you instruct people and no matter how much you try to get them to remember, it's people will forget, and they've shown that people will forget, and people lie. People in weight loss studies or in nutrition studies, we all eat stuff that we'd rather not show people that we ate, and people kind of conveniently omit things. Just, you know, and it's not like anyone in the study is judging what they eat. They just want to know what they eat, but people are just so self-conscious about stuff that even in studies, there's always that barrier where people are going to avoid writing down what they, everything they ate. They're going to leave out the things that they may think they'll be judged on.
Oh, totally. I mean, we'll put it this way. Nobody wants to diet, right? We just want to lose weight. I mean, the easiest option is just to get it sucked right out of us.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, I mean, that's a good segue into the liposuction. I did a blog post today about that.
Nice.
And I basically posed the question if liposuction is cheating or not, at least from the standpoint of bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I guess we could broaden that out just from in general. If your goal is weight loss and there happens to be a clinic close by with affordable price, why would you just go get it sucked out?
No, except what? Well, I would even, I mean, let's take like both ends of the spectrum. So we have, let's just say liposuction and steroids then, right? So mm-hmm. build up the muscle, suck out the fat, right? But you know, do both when we're sitting on a couch. My issue with it would be that it creates almost a tier system, right? So, because obviously liposuction is not affordable, and I'm guessing steroids are fairly expensive, right? So you combine the two, and it'd be a pretty – you'd be almost doing a class system of who gets to be lean and beautiful and who doesn't, right? The other thing is in terms of cheating, I think I would just put liposuction right in where I put steroids, which is I don't consider steroids cheating when you openly admit to using them. I consider steroids cheating when you say, no, I'm not, because then you create this whole mythos that these bodies are possible without them, right? You do such a damage to athletics and science by just not admitting to use them.
Well, you're a fraud if you don't admit. If you admit, you're fine. If you don't, you're purposefully misleading people.
Yeah, I'm not talking about admitting it like 20 years later, but I'm like when you're on being like, oh yeah, no, I smoked that ball on that home run because I'm on, you know, I up my dosages of Decabit, and I'm doing a photo shoot next week, so I'm getting some lipo done now, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's not cheating because you're just admitting it. You're open. You're like, these are the quickest means to the end I'm looking for. That's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It's when you don't admit to it and you say, you know, I smoked that home run because of the special workout I'm doing, and I switched from eating, you know, chicken to organic chicken, and that's why I look awesome for the photo shoot I'm doing in a week. And that's you're lying. That's cheating, right? So.
Right, and then in with cosmetic type enhancements, like I guess you could say, which both of them are, you are receiving a degree of attention, admiration, potentially even money, and you're receiving that like fraudulently if you're not admitting what you're up to.
No, exactly. And it's not even that. It goes farther beyond that. I mean, if you look at Hollywood and their I'm theorizing, but use of steroids and liposuction, right? But then when we look at these beautiful people who started off beautiful, that's why they're in Hollywood, right, in the first place, is great proportions, et cetera. And then they use these things to enhance those proportions and that beauty.
Or last longer.
But they don't admit to it. And then what happens is they get covered on a quick, you know, e-talk television show about their great workout routine. And then you have, you know, 1 million mums across the United States going, oh, all I have to do is bum crunches and I'll look like whoever, right? And you're just developing this false expectation that then crumbles in front of, you know, Miss USA house mom, who then thinks there's just something wrong with her. Is her slow metabolism or her horrible genetics? You're like, no, she's getting it sucked out of her. And then, you know, on top of taking thyroid drugs, keep skinny, and on top of even taking a little bit of anabolic steroids because she's, you know, playing the, you know, whoever in an action movie, right? Like it's.
So I guess what you're saying is if you're going to do that and you're in the public eye, you have some social responsibility to at least let people know what you're doing. Absolutely. If you know that they're going to try to follow in your footsteps, which it just becomes diffuse. No one takes responsibility for any of it.
Well, think about how much farther along the science, the actual science of muscle building, whether or not we're just talking about athletics or talking about sarcopenia and preventing muscle wasting in the elderly, if we were open about steroid use.
Oh, yeah, and if you could actually allow steroid users to walk into your clinic who are admittedly using doses far beyond what you could ever get ethical approval to dose somebody, but they'd be like, hey, I'm doing it anyways, can you at least study me?
Well, think other than the group out of McMaster, and I'm going to butcher their last name, the Bashan or Bassins, I think they're related, might be husband and wife, but other than them, I have not seen a well-conducted trial on people using steroids in I don't know how long. And other than that group McMaster, who are using still well below the doses that any athlete or bodybuilder would use, right? We don't get that kind of data.
Yeah, and I mean, and we know what's out there. We know there's thousands, probably tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people using. And they're all this sort of little mini experiments of themselves, and they really don't know what's going on in their bodies. They might as well start collecting the data.
Well, and that's another thing, too, is I think a lot of people don't realize, is that when in a typical muscle-gaining scientific experiment, I mean, the subjects of the study don't end looking like Brad Pitt and Troy. Same with in a typical weight loss experiment. You know, these girls don't end up when they've lost weight looking like a Hollywood girl or a model, right? Like, they just sort of go from being an average person, a little bit bigger average person, or an average person, a little bit smaller average person. But they're not taking it to the – they don't look like what we kind of picture it, right? So when someone tells you that someone gained 10 pounds in a weight training trial – right, we sort of automatically assume they look like, you know, one of the really big guys in the gym, when in reality they probably went from, I have no idea what that was, they went from 150 pounds to 160 pounds at 5'10".
Right, so like unremarkable to basically unremarkable.
Agreed, yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And same with the weight loss trials, you know, typically these are middle-aged women going from, you know, I don't know, 5'6", 170 pounds, down to 5'6", 150 pounds. So they're not all of a sudden getting, you know, offers to appear in magazines as a model, right? Which is kind of what we figure it is. So it's that false imagery we've been given from the steroids and the plastic surgery and the liposuction overlaid on top of what we're trying to believe is real. And that's where the cheating comes into play, right?
Yeah. I don't think the means to the end is – I mean, I'm of the belief that anyone's got the right to do whatever they want to their own body. And I guess, like you said, the responsibility comes in when what you're doing comes across as fraudulently leading other people to believe you're doing something else. And then they actually take action on that fraudulent belief and go and spend money and start actually becoming stressed and can end up, you know, with some serious psychological problems because they can't get what you have in a way that, you know, you didn't do it. So yeah. Naturally trying to get to a degree of muscularity that requires drugs, or naturally trying to get to a degree of leanness or in a time frame that required, you know, liposuction or something like that.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And so that becomes sort of the giant pink elephant in the room, right, is that everybody is trying to get somewhere that isn't actually possible. I mean, I get emails quite frequently from people who are looking for, and I'm trying to find the right wording of it. Here we go. So they want me to help them look like a bodybuilder because they're like, you know, you've been, you know, reading so much and you have such a background that I'm trying to find the exact words, right? That you should know how to help people like me strive to reach a bodybuilder physique. And my response is I do, right? Like it's, you have to, in order to look like a professional bodybuilder, you have to do what professional bodybuilders do, which unfortunately in the situation is probably drugs and cosmetic surgery, right? It's this sort of giant pink elephant. We know what works really, really well. Let's pretend it doesn't exist and let's try to figure out something else. I mean, every single weight loss and muscle building product online, every single one of them should come with an asterisk, right? So, you know, even Eat Stop Eat. Eat Stop Eat is the, you know, quickest and easiest way to lose ugly body fat. Asterisk, bottom of the page, other than like liposuction, of course, because that's the easiest, right? Or, you know, gain 40 pounds of muscle in 6 weeks with Brad Pillen's revolutionary, you know, X-Fit program. Asterisk. You know, well, but it would be even easier with steroids, right? Like we don't talk about this stuff, and I think it holds everything back. It holds progress back in general because we don't talk about it.
Yeah, it's taboo. It's unfortunate that this area's got the legislation changed into steroids being illegal. It's kind of silly the way it even happened. That's for another time, but you know, and it's one of those drugs that it's like nobody knows why they're bad, but for some reason they've just been told this story that they're bad. Like there's not very many other drugs that it gets used in pop culture and tongue in cheek, but other drugs like heroin wouldn't get used in tongue in cheek, or you wouldn't use cocaine. But
Well, that's still, yeah.
legally they get classed similar, but it's not socially taboo to talk about them. So
My
it's
issue with steroids is that they are illegal. It's kind of a catch-22. They're illegal because they're unregulated. They're unregulated because they're illegal. To give you kind of an idea of where I'm going with this, is that liposuction, right? Is perfectly legal because it's done by licensed doctors who know what they're doing, right? Now, if liposuction was just something that you randomly did, you know, in an alley behind your gym, it would probably be illegal because it'd be dangerous. It's unregulated, right? So, what's the difference between liposucking fat out of yourself and building up muscle via, you know, sort of drugs, right? The difference is the regulation. If the same doctors who were, you know, I don't know, performing liposuction were also the doctors who were licensed to administer and monitor people on steroids, it would be a completely different ballgame. Do you
Yeah, well,
follow what I'm saying?
it's hypocritical. It doesn't make any sense. Both of them are just cosmetic enhancements. They both have some degree of risk. Like I don't know. I just don't see it. To me, the root of whatever the legislation was, at least in the United States, for steroids becoming illegal has nothing to do with whether or not they're actually dangerous or cause any real problems.
Right.
Because otherwise, you'd get rid of all cosmetic enhancement stuff.
No, exactly. Yeah, where do you draw the line? I mean, would be working out should be illegal. You know, it gets at it, you know, because it can be abused, right? People are making money off of it, obviously. So, but then, you know, bring it all the way back to, is it cheating? I would really only view these things as cheating, because we hide them and because we don't admit to them, and that's what makes it cheating, right? Like it's, if you were admitting to it openly, it's not cheating. It's just what you're doing. So that's my main issue with both of those things. Whether it's, I mean, it's not just lipo, but all cosmetic surgery in general, and then the use of anabolic steroids. This is the only cheating. It's just you're not admitting to it, and you're trying to say that, you know, you can look like I look like you just have to eat something, do a special workout, etc. Right? Like it's specifically cheating when you're doing a surgery or taking a drug for the purpose of then being able to market something, right? So,
Other than that drug.
oh yeah, I mean, well, a super amazing way for me to sell Eat Stop Eat would be get some 300-pound woman, you know, pay for her liposuction, use her as a before and after, and throw her up on the website. Right, or for you to do a muscle building program and then just do a good cycle of DECA and then say like, no, it's just my workout. Even or to use before and afters who are obviously on drugs. Right? Like there's an ethical consideration there. If you said, you know, check out all these amazing before and afters who used my product in conjunction with 2 grams of testosterone a day, right? And look at the remarkable results they got. That's honest. That's fair. Check out the amazing results these guys got just from using my workout. When they're, and you just leave out the fact they're also on drugs, you're making people think that they're going to get those same results, right, without drugs. And that, again, that's where the cheating becomes really sort of
Well,
unethical,
that's,
is
I
when
mean,
you're
that's totally obvious in that
doing it
case.
for financial gain, right? But if you, I mean, if you look through the web on the various muscle building websites that are selling products, whether they're selling supplements or they're selling workouts, I mean, there is a vast majority of pictures used to promote this product or to provide the imagery for you to associate with that product. I would theorize that those bodies are mostly either medically enhanced via cosmetic surgery or pharmaceutically enhanced via drugs.
Or both.
Or yeah, most likely a combination of the two
And
in
the
theory.
pictures could very well be photoshopped too.
Well, let's not even get into, yeah, the added Photoshop and posing and oiling up and, yeah, that whole bit. But just in general, I mean, even without all
Like
that.
I don't think people realize how much pictures get modified to be like magazine ad ready and stuff like that.
That was unbelievable.
Like I remember sitting with our production artist watching him just clean a picture up. Like, you know, from the actual, I mean, this is a picture coming from a professional photo shoot. Then it's going to post-production to make sure it just looks good for the ad. It was about 8 hours of post-production.
Well, let's not forget in a professional photo shoot, you knock off 300 pictures and you pick the three best.
Yeah, and then from there, you work them over for 2 days on the computer until you've got the one you like for the ad.
Okay, well then this puts me in a conundrum because I'm saying that my issue with cosmetic surgery and steroids is just not admitting to it, right? Mm. Well then, at what point of a picture being touched up or cleaned up should it be admitted that it's not a raw picture anymore? And even if it was a raw picture, should you have to say this is a raw, untouched picture but taken by a professional photographer? You know, like at
yeah, I mean,
it's very tricky.
Yeah, I understand that. I guess to some degree, it's something. Well, I guess it's what we're doing is educating people on like that's when you look at a picture in a magazine, that's what you're looking at. Everything we just said.
Yeah, picture in a magazine is a fantasy. It's getting to the point where it's no different than how well an artist can draw a picture of Superman. That's what the pictures in magazines are getting to, right? Like it's just
they're about
out of this world perfect.
They're about as close to what the. It doesn't mean those people don't look good live. It's just it's a different thing. Like it's you have to assume that the picture they have in the magazine is what. You can't assume that that's exactly what they look like live. It's just it's two different things.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of?
What?
Facebook and or sort of online fitness personalities. The guys who use been using the exact same picture for the last 10 years.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So it's like that's the only picture they've ever had, right? So right. You know, it's not the my drunken Vegas picture or something like that. Like you know, there's some. People out there who are online personalities, who there's like a new picture every day. Like, you know exactly what they look like in any given day. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other ones who have the exact same picture, and it's like a professional picture. You can obviously tell they're dieted down and oiled up for it. And that's the only picture you ever see. And you kind of wonder what he looks like
now,
or, you know, for the other 364 days of the year for the last 10 years kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, same idea, right? At what point do you have to declare then that, by the way, this is 3 years ago.
Yeah, and that was the first time I really noticed that was when I saw bodybuilders in the off season.
Yeah,
because you know when we were back in the day, I used to always look at the bodybuilding magazines, and it's like you know they're every magazine photo shoot, they're just totally ripped and they're working out and stuff. I'm like Jesus, I've never seen anybody that looks this ripped in the gym. Like that's crazy. And then I slowly started to learn. It's like oh they only look like that just right around the show. And they hate those photo shoots because they're depleted and dehydrated, so they don't even want to be in the gym for those photo shoots. So it's kind of like for some of the athletes, it's like pulling teeth to get them to go through a workout photo shoot and actually use some heavy weights because they don't feel like it. But the heavy weights make the picture look way more impressive. And then you see them in the off season every now and then. Like I saw some live, you know, guest posers and stuff. And then every now and then you'll catch a picture of one online, and I'm like, oh, you just kind of look fat, like, and it's, you know, smooth and nothing like the pictures I'm used to seeing the mags. And then I realized, oh, that's just a temporary state, and that's just not really what you look like.
Yeah, yeah, no. You know, I try to think of something similar to that, and I don't know if I have the lady's name right. It may have been Chris Sayre. I don't know if that's her. There is one lady who was a kind of like a pinup model that you'd find in the back of like old, like early 1980 Muscle and Fitness.
Mm.
And then from like 1980 to 1995, the ad was still there and it was the exact same picture.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you kind of sit and now you're like, she's not aging at all. And you realize, oh, it's just the same picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I remembered when we worked in the bodybuilding industry, you know, once you did a photo shoot and you know, you've got your 300 pictures from that model and you own the rights to those pictures and that model goes on and does whatever. Mm-hmm. You might use those pictures like 6, 7 years later, especially if they're really good ones.
They get used 20 years later. Arnold Schwarzenegger's still on the cover of magazines.
Exactly. So then at the same point, it's like there almost should be like a statute of limitations on pictures, right? Like it's like
– Well, it's just educate yourself. It's like, do you really think that person still looks like that?
Yeah. So from – I mean – from the ethics of liposuction to the ethics of steroid use to the ethics of manipulating pictures, right? Like, it gets really difficult because now where do you go with it?
Well, that's why I tell people to not compare themselves to anybody else besides themselves. Like, however you look in the mirror is really your only... You just forget what everybody else looks like. Forget what people even around you look like live, like people that you know. Not, I'm not talking about magazines and stuff.
Yeah.
Just yourself and whether or not you're happy with the way you look or if you want to maybe do something about it. But that's it. You can never compare yourself to anybody else.
Oh,
because
totally.
I mean, because you have really, you don't have any proof for magazines and digital stuff online and that sort of stuff. You have absolutely no idea what they're up to or what they're doing. So you just don't know. I mean,
I find it interesting when you say that because I get a lot of guys, which is weird because I typically know it's a fat loss guy, but they send me pictures. This gets kind of weird. So guys send me pictures of other guys.
This doesn't sound good at all.
Oh yeah, and dude, it already sounds better than the car radio parking.
Oh my god, I know.
So and they'll be like, you know, I want to look like this, and I'm looking at going like, that's a photo, right? Like you. That's an unrealistic 2D image of a guy that you don't know. You don't know if he's on steroids, had plastic surgery, had cosmetic surgery. You don't know if he always looks like this, if it's just a great picture, if the picture's been touched up, and this is what you're sending me, right? Like, it's so weird that that's what people compare themselves to, right?
Well, and that's kind of – if you haven't been – you and I don't do a good job of reminding ourselves that we've been there and we've seen the photo shoots from the inside out. Like, we've been in the photo shoots. We've been in the editing room. We've seen what the model looks like live versus what they look like once the ad hits the newsstands. Most people haven't done that. Like how many, you know, if anyone listening has done that, please send us in some, you know, let us know your experiences with this. But in general, if you haven't been in those circles, you don't really know, you know, you don't know what the difference is between what it looks like live and after it's been touched up.
I'd love to know because we know the bodybuilding industry inside and out, and we've done the bodybuilding photo shoots. Like your example with the Playboy Playmate, I'd love to hear from someone who's been at one of those photo shoots. But like, it's the exact same, right? It's duct tape on the lower back to hold the love handles back. You know, it's a coat hanger, you know, stuck in the back of the t-shirt to make sure it's tight. Like all the tricks of trade that we used, I wonder if the same ones are going on there.
Oh, I'm sure they have even better ones.
Yeah. But in the pre-Photoshop, that was the best way to get rid of, love handles was just a piece of duct tape right across the lower back, pulling one to the other. Amazing, worked great. But now Photoshop takes care of Photoshop takes care of all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the but yeah, you really can't compare yourself to pictures. And then I think the problem is with that is that most people don't know they can't compare themselves to pictures because there's such a limited amount of people who are just say, yeah, you know, I've had plastic surgery or I've had lipo, a little touch up here and there, or I've done a couple rounds of steroids. You know, it's very rare for people to do that, especially celebrities. And so then people compare themselves to pictures because they don't have any concept of the fact that picture could be not only an altered picture, but of a person in an altered state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I mean, yeah, you're never going to know that stuff. I mean, now you do because we just told you. It's yeah, the media is, I mean, you just have to view it for what it is. It's something to entertain you, but it's not necessarily a real representation of what, it's not a representation of what's of reality, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And I think it's just even that, you know, if someone were to, all right, if I were to give you a workout program and say, this is the workout program I used, I got bigger, you know, it would be fair to assume then that you're going to get bigger if the program is as good as I say it is. The misconception is for me to say, here's the program I use to get bigger and stronger. If you use it, you'll be bigger and stronger like me. I think that's what people kind of – something about the imagery and having photos beside the product, instead of making you think you're going to be a bigger, stronger version of yourself, you kind of automatically assume you're going to end up looking like the guy or girl in the picture.
Yeah, like morph into something completely different.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of where there's a big disconnect.
Yeah. So, but yeah, in terms of the actual, yeah, liposuction and drug use, again, I have no problem with it. I just, my major problem is when it's not admitted to, and when it's used for the purpose of monetary gain, right? So when you're saying you're taking a drug for the purpose of then knowingly saying that you didn't take them, in order to promote a product or to promote a way of training or something.
Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, monetary gain, like in sports when the next guy over isn't doing it and you make, you know, think of the athletes who've, won MVPs and got bonuses on their contracts. And but so what I'm saying is, it, if there was another guy who you beat out for the MVP, and in his contract, if he got it, he would have got the bonus, and he wasn't using drugs. Now you've actually fraudulently taken money out of his pocket and put it in yours.
That's a good point.
So that there's, because when you think about it, you know, with the different guys who've been caught using steroids, in baseball, for example, and if they won some sort of title, because their contracts are laced, have incentives all over them for like getting to like winning the home run race and that sort of stuff. Well, what about the guy you beat out? If he wasn't using drugs, now you just flat out cheated to beat him, and you made money, and took it away from him because he would have had the same incentive in his contract.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
You know, and then like endorsement deals and stuff like that. Like, you know, people like Marion Jones when she had to hand back her 5 gold medals. Well, who were the other 5 people who should have won those medals?
Yeah.
And where was their all their endorsements? You know, I just believe that everyone she was racing against was also on, so it kind of wouldn't have mattered.
That's an interesting. I never even thought of that point. Is it? Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, who are you going to give the medals to? A bunch of other people who just didn't get caught. That's all.
Yeah, but we would see, again, we wouldn't have to do all this sort of guessing, et cetera. If...
Yeah, just have the all-drug Olympics. Everyone's admits, and then just off you go.
Yep, or how much better would it be if, you know, certain A-level celebrities would, instead of give, you know, people guessing at their nighttime beauty secrets and oils they put on their skin, if they're like, oh, no, I had Botox and these abs were etched in by a great surgeon I know.
Yeah, just go see him, yeah.
It would not only that, but I think it would change a lot of people's self-esteem. They're like, oh... I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just not doing the right things, right? Like it's...
Oh, 100%. You get rid of a lot of people's body image issues and then like self-esteem and maybe some depressive tendencies people have over not having the body they want and not realizing, like the people who send you pictures, you know, they're chasing an ideal that no one's ever told them actually it's doable. Like you just said, you just have to use this drug, go to see this surgeon and use these 3 things, you know, whatever else. And, you know, no one ever told you that.
Yep.
So I mean, let's put it together then. Where are we going with this?
You know, the one I like is the one you had, which is just, like, just don't compare yourself to anybody other than yourself. Right?
Yep.
Like it's because you just have no clue. Right?
Don't compare yourself to anybody other than yourself, and realize that much of the imagery you're seeing that seems sort of, I don't want to say over the top, but seems really, really like perfect. Much of it, not all of it, but much of it has got something else going on besides just hard work in the gym.
No, that's a great point. Yeah. Anything that seems overly perfect was designed to look that way.
Mm-hmm.
Person, place, thing, life. You know, like my favorite is the, you know, the God at all stories, love my job, have the great car, have the great house. And you just know that behind that sort of bravado of how great my life is, that there's things that we're not being told.
Yeah.
Right. So
they're not telling you that they're a raging alcoholic.
Yeah. So same thing with got the body, but you're like, yeah, but you didn't. Yeah. I doubt you got that from push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like it's so. Yeah. Don't compare yourself to, and even when you're comparing yourself to yourself, make sure I don't mess this one up. You have to keep the time as a variable, right? So realize that yourself at 40, it might not be fair comparing yourself to yourself when you were 21. Comparing yourself to yourself. Yeah. So, you know, that has to be in your head as well. When you are making comparisons to yourself, you also have to take into account that things, your life, not just a matter of being younger, but your lifestyle may have been a lot different when you were younger too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So for Brad Peel and I'm John Barbin, and that's your Phi Life podcast.